Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. Today is yesterday. We especially welcome the new listeners on The Word, KWRD-FM 100.7 in Dallas-Fort Worth. We'd love to hear from you, as we would from our listeners everywhere. If you have a Bible question or a life issue you'd like to discuss, we invite you to call right now. The number 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Today we're going to talk about one of our favorite subjects, and that's the forgiveness that each of us have in Christ Jesus. And it's one of our favorite subjects because it is a subject, it is a truth that really turns a light on for people in their understanding of this good news of Jesus Christ. You know, we've been at this for 30 years. We've been talking to people personally. We've been teaching home Bible studies. We've been, giving messages in church settings and in conferences and that sort of thing. And through all of that, we've made some observations, and here's some of those observations. Every Christian knows that Christ died for their sins. As a matter of fact, that's what most people think of in terms of the gospel. Ask the question, what is the gospel? And that's the answer you're going to get back 9 times out of 10, that Christ died for my sins. But the gospel, as we'll learn, is much more than that. Christ died for our sins, but he was also raised to life so that we could have everlasting life. He died so that we could live. That's what the gospel is all about, and we live when he comes to take up residence in us. So everyone knows that Christ died to forgive their sins. Here's the second observation, that even with the clear declaration of God's word that our sins, all of them, past, present, and future, are forgiven through the finished work of Jesus Christ, Christians still struggle with fear and guilt. And so many of them are out there scratching their heads, wondering if they have forgiveness at all. That's my experience. I would sin, and, you know, I knew Jesus died for that sin, but I didn't know if the blood had been applied to that sin or not. And I figured I had to do something in order to get that blood to be applied to that particular sin, but I never knew if it was. So I went through much of my Christian experience early on feeling as if I was unforgiven. I mean, that's an awful feeling to have. Yeah. And I think there are many believers out there that live with that feeling day in and day out, that my sins have not been forgiven. And then the third thing that we've observed through the years is simply this, that confusion over the forgiveness issue hampers every other aspect of the Christian life. If you are confused about forgiveness, or if you're confused about whether or not your sins have been forgiven, that's going to hamper every other aspect of the Christian life. So we hope today that some of the things that we're going to be sharing will be meaningful to you on a personal level. You'll have one of those aha moments. If you're confused, maybe today is the day when you can settle this issue once and for all and walk through this door into a life that is abundant and free. That's our hope and prayer for you through today's broadcast of Basic Gospel.
This is Basic Gospel. We have open lines for you right now. They're wide open, as a matter of fact, at 844-322-2742. Again, 844-322-2742. Jot down the shortened version of that if you'd like to keep it handy. That's 844-32-BASIC. But again, the lines are wide open. We're here with a live broadcast so that you can be a part of it, so you can get an immediate answer to your question or discuss your particular life situation right now. So give us a call, friends. Want to hear from you, 844-322-2742. And Bob and Richard, an email from Maria, who and her message and her question feeds right into what you're talking about as we open the broadcast. She says, I know that Christ died for all my sins, past, present, and future. So what do you call it when someone chooses the desires of the flesh? I know that I fall every day short of the glory of God, but when a pastor is in the pulpit stating that we are sinners, I don't agree. My spirit tells me, no, you are perfect in Jesus Christ. Please explain this to me.
Well, thanks for sharing that, Bob. That's a wonderful question, and really brings this gospel down to real life, doesn't
yes.
it? Here's the deal. Sometimes we do give in to the desires of the flesh as believers. Sometimes we give in to it more often than we want to. And sometimes we even get in a habit of sinning. Sometimes we get trapped in a particular sin. Well, is that sin forgiven? The answer is absolutely. Jesus Christ died to take away all sins. He didn't leave some unforgiven. He forgave all of them. His shed blood took away each and every one. But when we give in to those desires of the flesh, that's still called sin, isn't it?
Yes.
We don't want to call it anything other than what God calls it, and he calls it sin. And the root of that sin was unbelief. We weren't trusting the Lord at that particular moment. And I think that's a key point that we need to understand. Sin flows out of a heart of unbelief. So we were sinners because our hearts, before coming to know Christ, were unbelieving hearts.
Yes.
We were unbelievers. That's what we were called. That's what a sinner is. It's an unbeliever. That's why God sent his Spirit to convict the world of sin. Why? Because they do not believe in Jesus. So sin is really unbelief. That's the root of all sin. And as a lost person, I'm an unbeliever, which equals sinner. Now that I'm saved, I've gone from an unbeliever to a believer. So my nature is to believe. That's what this heart, this new heart of mine, wants to do. It wants to believe and trust and rest in Jesus Christ. Sometimes the things of this world look pretty appealing. And my eye moves away from Jesus onto the things of this world, and I say, that's what I want to do. That's going to make me happy. So that's an unbelieving heart that, you know, I'm not going to find happiness in Jesus. I got to find it out here, and I move in that direction. That's sin. What has Jesus done with that? He's forgiven it once and for all. Once I move in that direction, commit that sin, what should I do? Well, I should recognize it as sin and then simply thank God for the forgiveness that I have in him. But I'm not a sinner anymore. I still sin, but I'm a saint by calling, a child of God. I have a new identity as a believer in Christ. So that's why this forgiveness issue is so vitally important. If I feel like I'm still a sinner, then that means maybe God likes me, maybe he doesn't, because I'm this yucky person. But if I realize I'm a child of God, I know that I'm in his favor at all times.
Absolutely. Well, Marie, I hope you're listening. I hope that's a help to you. And friends, if you can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air live, drop us an email at basicgospel.net. We'll be glad to address your question.
Well, yes, indeed. Well, let's go to Staten Island and talk to Peter, listening to us on WMCA. Hi, Peter.
Hi, how you doing?
Doing well, thank you.
Well, you know, the question of after we're saved, I understand our sins are forgiven, past, present, and future, washed away by the precious blood of Jesus. Actually, our sins were transferred onto him, and his righteousness was transferred onto us. But yet we still sin. So in my view of that, or the way I feel is, although our sins do not take away our salvation, but they do offend the Lord. So what I do is in the evening before I go to bed, I kind of go over how I fell short, and I say, Lord, I know you know I fell short today, and I missed the mark, and I did sin, and I know my sins are all forgiven, but I'm sorry. And I'm going to try to do better. I'm trying to repent and turn from that way and yield to the Holy Spirit who's dwelling within me. Would you think that's wrong to do that? Or how do you feel about that?
Well, Peter, no, I don't think that's wrong to do. I mean, you've articulated the fact that you believe that your sins have already been forgiven, that Christ has already done the work to take away your sins once and for all. So your confession or your talk, your conversation with the Lord is built upon that foundation. And that's so vitally important. Most Christians don't have that foundation. They're still wondering if God has forgiven them or not. And so they're on shaky ground, so to speak. But you've articulated the fact that you're on pretty solid footing, that you're resting in the finished work of Christ Jesus. Now, as far as repentance is concerned, what I think is important for us to understand is true repentance deals with the heart. It's not so much with the actions, although God is concerned with those actions. Don't get me wrong with that. But as far as his concern with you, he wants to get to the heart issue. And what he would say is, Peter, why weren't you trusting me in that at that particular moment? What did you see out there in the world that caught your eye, that moved you away from trust in me to trying to fulfill your needs through a worldly means? What was that? And so you have that conversation, and see, God gets to the heart of it. And he says, you can trust me. There is really 100% contentment and satisfaction in the Lord. And that's what he wants us to know, and that's what he wants to press into us as much as he possibly can. And then once we're there, he can say, all right, now let's look at some of the consequences of this action. Did you know in choosing to do that, you offended your wife or you offended this person? I want you to go and make that right with this person. So you're allowing the grace of God to teach you to say no to sin in the future, but deal with those that you've offended right now. Does that make sense to you?
Right. Absolutely, because one of my main issues is anger. And I want to, I know, you know, Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, you know, trust in the Lord with all my heart. That's what I want. When I get into a situation, I do not want to lean on my own understanding. The Lord, I'm giving it to you. And then I know that if I acknowledge him in all my ways, he'll make straight my path. And that's where I fall short. Just what you said. When if I'm not trusting in him, I won't, now I'm leaning on my own understanding and I'm reacting to it in the flesh. So you're absolutely right. It's when that's so I have to just yield more to the Lord.
Yeah, it's all about a heart that trusts him. That's really what God is looking for in each and every one of us, is a heart of faith.
All right, good. Thank you. I'm glad I made it. It's awesome that you had this as a topic, because this is an issue that I've been, you know, thinking about. Because some people are telling me, and rightly so. I mean, I know my sins are forgiven, past, present, and future, but still, you know, we're not perfected yet, so we're going to fall short. And I still say, Lord, I'm sorry for falling short. I know that doesn't take away my salvation, but I want to please him. This is what my purpose here is on this planet, is to please and glorify him. So when I fall short, I feel convicted.
Well, just remember this. Without faith, it's impossible to please God. So what he's looking for is a heart that trusts, and that heart that trusts is what pleases him.
Amen. Thank you.
Well, let me put you on hold, Peter, and we'll send you our free booklet, Forgiveness, The Door to Life. You hang on.
You found Basic Gospel, everybody. Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer. My name is Bob Davis. And if you're new to this broadcast called Basic Gospel, we have that special gift for you as well. Among other important things, you'll receive a copy of the booklet called Forgiveness, Doorway to Life. And for your gift, just go online to basicgospel.net and click the graphic in the lower left corner of the homepage. Again, that's the lower left corner of our homepage at basicgospel.net. We would love to get this into your hands and have you edified by it. Bob?
Well, thanks. Let's go to Idaho and our friend Lavana. Hi, Lavana.
Hello. How
Welcome.
Are you today?
Doing fine. How are you?
Fine, thank you. I was, we're talking about our sins, but it's my understanding that it goes back, we're also born with the sin of Adam and a sin nature, even before we commit our personal sins. So in Genesis chapter 5, 3, it says, when Adam had lived 130 years, he became the father of a son in his own image. That's in Adam's image, not God's, according to his image, and named him Seth. So it's my understanding that we're all born in the image of Adam, his sinful nature. And then when we're born again, we're cleansed of that sin of Adam.
You're exactly right, Lavanna. When Adam and Eve sinned, they doomed all of mankind.
Yes.
So they lost the image of God, and as you rightly stated, their children were born into the image of Adam and Eve, and that was a fallen image. That was a sinful image, an image that misses the mark of what God originally intended for mankind. And that was marked by a heart of unbelief. Adam and Eve chose to stop trusting God and to believe the lie of Satan. And so that became our nature, is to stop trusting the Lord and to believe the lies of Satan and of this world. We became unbelievers. That is what the nature is of a sinner. When we come to Christ by faith, that changes. We become believers. That's part of that cleansing. And now we have a heart that wants to believe, that has been fitted to believe, that has been made to believe in Jesus Christ, to walk by him in faith. And that's what the Christian life is all about. As Paul wrote in Galatians 2, we've been crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, we live, yet not us, but Christ lives in us. And the life that we live is by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave himself for us. So this life that we live is a life of faith, and we've been fitted to do so. We've been made to do so through this new birth in Jesus Christ, when we went from unbelief to belief in him.
Well, now, when we accept Christ, we're born again, and we're cleansed, so that we do not have the sin of Adam, but we still have that choice of whether we're going to follow Christ or whether we're going to follow the devil, just as Adam did.
We do, but we have a heart in us that says to believe. So if we go against that heart, a heart that God has put inside of us, if we go against that heart, we're going to know it from deep within. We're going to see that conflict, and that's the conflict that Paul talked about in Galatians chapter 5. So if we go against this heart that God has put in us, this heart that wants to trust in him, we're going to know about it instantly. We're going to say, this just doesn't make sense to be doing. It's not who I am anymore. It's who I once was, but it's not who I am anymore.
Okay, and so when we accept Christ and we're born again, we're cleansed. And then the Holy Spirit can come and live in us. He would not live in a sinful
body. That's right. That's the purpose of Jesus' shed blood on the cross.
Cleansing.
He cleansed us.
Adam and of our personal sins.
Yeah. He's cleansed us once and for all. We stand before him holy and blameless in his sight, righteous, just as righteous as Jesus Christ. That's good news, isn't it?
Yes. Okay, thank you very much.
You're welcome, Lavanna. Thanks for your call.
Yes, indeed. And folks, if you live on the East Coast, particularly in the Washington area, you have a great opportunity to come and hear and see Bob Christopher, Andrew Farley, and John Lynch as they celebrate the extravagant love of God in the Network 220 Convention. That's coming up in just 3 days, April 24th through the 26th in Bristow, Virginia. All information can be found at basicgospel.net. Hope you'll take advantage of this opportunity. The guys would love to meet you.
Well, let's go to New York and talk with Gilbert. Hi, Gilbert.
Yes, hello.
Welcome.
Yeah, I have a question about Job chapter 1, verse 5. It says that it may be my children have sinned and cursed God in their hearts. Thus did Job continue? Because I'm getting different opinions. I think it's good to get a second opinion like lawyers and doctors. But I'll let you know. I mean, they didn't repent, so they're not going to be in heaven, if that's going to be the case. Because some people that teach the Bible believe that, you know, we don't know. It doesn't say.
Well, as far as what Job was doing, he was offering a burnt sacrifice each morning for each of his children. And he was doing so, saying, perhaps my children have sinned, and this sacrifice will serve to cover their particular sin. So that's why he was offering those sins. Now, we know from what the Word of God has to say, particularly Hebrews chapter 10, that the blood of bulls and goats could never take away sins. So if we're going to be forgiven, if we're going to truly experience the forgiveness of God and the cleansing of our souls, then we have to rest in blood that is of more value than the blood of bulls and goats. And that blood is the shed blood of Jesus Christ. His sacrifice sanctifies us, sets us apart, makes us holy, makes us perfect in the sight of God. So Job was just doing this thinking that these sacrifices could help his kids. That was his custom. That was his practice. And he was doing so in hopes that God would take away their sins. But that only comes through the shed blood of Jesus.
Yeah, it's also clear that his custom was such that he shunned sin himself. It wasn't like he wasn't talking to his kids about this stuff. It was that he served as their priest, so to speak. And it was a covering, but it wasn't a final.
Yeah, but what happened to the children? That's what I want to know. What's going to happen to them?
Depends on if they accepted the one true God or not.
That's exactly right. I mean, we all stand before God on our own two feet. We either receive Jesus or we don't. So I can't get into heaven on the coattails of my mom and dad. At a point in my life, I had to come to faith in Christ personally. And that's when I was born again. My mom and dad certainly provided a great foundation. They certainly pointed me to the Lord. But until I came to him personally, I was still lost, still dead in sin, still in need of life. And when I came to him, that's what I received.
All right. So why everybody has a different opinion and understand it's confusing.
Yeah. Well, Gilbert, it's all about Jesus. He died. He was buried. He was raised back to life so that you could have life everlasting. Have you ever come to know him personally?
Yes.
Okay. So you have life everlasting. You share that good news with others so that they can experience it as well. Okay, my friend?
All right.
Hey, thanks, Gilbert. Thanks for your call. Well, we've had lots of wonderful calls today, and we want to remind our listeners we have a free gift that they can receive. Just for the asking.
Absolutely. For your free copy of our booklet called Forgiveness, Doorway to Life, along with several other very important items of interest, well, just visit us at basicgospel.net and click the graphic in the lower left corner of our homepage. And you're going to love this booklet as it details the great forgiveness that we have in Jesus Christ that he's provided for us. And again, just click the graphic in the lower left corner of our homepage at basicgospel.net, and your gift will be on the way.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's quickly go to Fairfax, Virginia, and talk with Richard, listening to us on our great affiliate, WAVA. Hi, Richard.
Hey, I'll make it quick because we're running out of time, but love you guys. What does it mean to work your salvation out with fear and trembling?
Great question. It simply means to work out what God is working in. And that's exactly what Paul says in the verse immediately following that in Philippians, where he says, for it is God who is at work in you to do and to will of his good pleasure. So Jesus Christ comes to live in us as believers. He is at work inside of us to will and to do of his good pleasure. And our role is to simply work it out by faith and to do so in the spirit of humility. That's what that verse is all about. Well, thank you, Richard. Thanks for your call. We certainly appreciate it, my friend.
Yes, indeed. We appreciate everyone who called today to be a part of the broadcast. If you called and didn't get through, hope you'll try again tomorrow. We'd love to speak with you and lead you into the Word of God for the answer and or the solution to your particular issue or your question in the Lord Jesus Christ. So, well, thanks for joining us today, everybody. Now for Bob Christopher, Richard Pfeiffer, and the ministry team, Bob Davis, inviting you to join us again tomorrow for another live edition of Basic Gospel.